If you would, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 21. We'll be reading the entire chapter. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel next to the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near next to my house, and for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or, if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." So Ahab went into his house sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, "Why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food?" He said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' Then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'You now exercise your authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. She wrote in the letters, saying, 'Proclaim a fast, and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, "You have blasphemed God and the king." Then take him out and stone him that he may die." So the men of his city, the elders and nobles who were inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent to them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with high honor among the people. And two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him and against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth has blasphemed God and the king." Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with the stones, so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth had been stoned and is dead." And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel came, said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead." So it was, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, Thus says the Lord, Have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, Thus says the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours.' So Ahab said to Elijah, 'Have you found me, O my enemy?' And he answered, 'I have found you, because you have sold yourself to evil on the side of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity on you, and I will take away your posterity, and will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin.' And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, 'The dog shall eat Jezebel by the walls of Jezreel. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field.' But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So it was, when Ahab heard those words, that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his day. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house.'"
We are going to continue this morning and into this evening as well, our look at the idea, as was mentioned, beware their influence. And this morning, we are going to look at misappropriate or misappropriation, as she may sometimes be called. And in just a moment, we'll discuss, if you haven't already concluded as to why we use 1 Kings chapter 21 for our scripture reading, we'll discuss a little bit about that, how that falls into what we are talking about this morning. Now, there may be some in the audience that aren't familiar with misappropriate. Some of you may not be too familiar with what she looks like or who she is, don't recognize that specific term, basically, is what it comes down to. May not understand what it is to misappropriate or what misappropriation is. And once again, we can recognize who that is by her fruits. Find in Scripture when Jesus speaks of people that by your fruits you will know them. So, what are some of the things that we can recognize, or what are some of the fruits that we would receive from her? We would see that this individual puts things to wrong use, or applies wrongfully or dishonestly, such as funds that were trusted to their care, or appropriates for a wrong or dishonest use, embezzle or steal. Other terms that might be related to her actions could be things such as involvement in fraud, pilfering, misuse, and theft. Now, what we're going to look at really this morning and again this evening is the idea, well, this morning is the idea of acquiring that which we should not be acquiring through an inappropriate manner. Taking from those that we should not be taking from, or misappropriating others, and that can be property, that can be funds. There are various things, and we'll look at some examples of what that looks like. Before we do, you can see I've got some scriptures on the board. I want to just go through and read these, and these I titled as just some general principles to consider. These were general principles that God put forth to His people to be thinking about with regard to our dealings with others. In Leviticus chapter 6, beginning at verse 2, the Word of God says, "If a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it, and swears falsely, in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore its full value, and add one-fifth more to it, and give to it whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock, with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses." What's he talking about? One who tries to keep something that does not belong to him. One who potentially is given something for safekeeping, and then instead of returning that which he has been given, he chooses to try to hold on to it or keep it for himself. He tries to take possession of something that does not belong to him. Or it talks about the idea of one who would steal, or one who would extort, or take that which is not rightfully theirs. And the general principle was, not only was that person to give back that which they had wrongfully taken, but they had to give back more. They had to add one-fifth more to it for the violation and the trespass that they had committed. And then there was still also requests and offering for their forgiveness. Turn further in the book of Leviticus and look at the 19th chapter, verses 11 through 13. A very simple concept. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. Don't take advantage. Don't take from him that which is rightfully his, and hold it for yourself. Leviticus the 19th chapter, verses 35 and 36, looking a little bit ahead. You shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length, weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And what is he talking about here when he's talking about the idea of honest weight and honest scales? This is involved in the purchasing of various things. And things were laid out upon the scale to determine their value, what their money value was, what something was worth. And these people were not to have dishonest scales. That is to say, for example, that in addition to the coins that they may be placing on a scale in a bag, that they add rocks to those coins, that it may weigh heavier and be of more value. The flip side of that is that the one who possesses the scale not be dishonest and not have it set in such a way as some of us do when we want to check our weight. And we rock the scale back 5 or 10 pounds because it makes us feel better. But it doesn't give an honest reading. And so then in exchange for what these people are giving, they're not getting the honest value of what they come to offer. And so what that means is those who have or those who possess these weights and measures are taking more than is rightfully theirs. They are misappropriating additional funds that they should not be taking. Now, if you would, turn to Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter, and look at verses 13 through 16. Deuteronomy chapter 25, beginning at verse 13, says, "You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving among you. For all who does such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God." It is an abomination to God when you try to take advantage of others. When you try to take possession of those things that are not rightfully yours. How does that relate to what we looked at in our scripture reading this morning? Naboth owned what was desired by someone. He would not sell it. He recognized God's teaching on your inheritance to people, and he knew that it would be a violation of God's teaching to give up the land that was his inheritance. We can learn about that in Numbers, I believe it's the 36th chapter, that talks about the inheritance and what they're to do with that. But Naboth still desired it. And so what has ultimately happened is he's upset, he complains, and when he complains to his wife, she goes and she helps him acquire it. She helps him misappropriate property that never should have been his. And how does she go about doing that? She goes about scheming and deceiving people. She goes about lying, saying untruth, and setting up an innocent man, and having him killed just so that he could take possession of something that wasn't rightfully his to have. So, how would we recognize misappropriation? She's one who would scheme, who would connive, who would try to take advantage of others in order to get things that don't rightfully belong to her. Or she may try to convince you to do the exact same thing. You deserve it. Like Jezebel, you deserve it. You're king of everything. You deserve to have the land that you want, so I'll help you get it. But it wasn't rightfully theirs to have. So this morning, let's look at some other Old Testament examples of misappropriation. These are things that we can see where individuals have misappropriated things that are not rightfully theirs, so that you have examples of what you can look at and watch out for in the actions of other people. Turn, if you would, to Genesis, the 25th chapter, and let's look at verses 24 through 34. And we're going to find here how Jacob misappropriates his brother's birthright. And when we say he misappropriates it, again, it didn't belong to him. It wasn't his to have, yet he desired it, and he found a way to get that which he desired but should not have. Genesis chapter 25, beginning at verse 24. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, and he was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's feet, or excuse me, his heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Verse 27. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked the stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way, and thus Esau despised his birthright. Thus Esau despised what was rightfully his, having given it up. But look at the situation. We see where Jacob sees his brother is weary from the field. He sees that he is hungry, that he desires something to eat. What would a good brother do? A good brother would say, "Yes, eat of the stew. You're tired. Take the provision that you need." What did Jacob do? What did Jacob think? "You've got what I want, and I'm going to take it from you. And I'm not even going to have to take it from you. You're going to give me what I desire. Because you're at a weak point, I can manipulate you into doing something that you wouldn't otherwise do." Do you think, and do we have any indication in Scripture, that Esau would have ever given up his birthright to Jacob just for the sake of doing so? No. There's no indication of that. Jacob took advantage of a situation, and I believe he misappropriates Esau's birthright. What is misappropriation or misappropriate going to try to get you to do? May convince you that, hey, this is a good time to take advantage of a situation. They may be weak. You really desire it. And the world teaches this. If you desire it, just take it. Isn't that the mindset of the world? You deserve it. Have it your way. Take whatever you want. Doesn't matter who you hurt. Doesn't matter how it goes about happening. If you want it, take it. Well, there's more to the story. And there's more to the reasoning behind the misappropriation of Esau's birthright. Because then we see, later on in Scripture, that Jacob steals, a synonym, another description for misappropriate, he steals his father's blessing. Who did the blessing go to? It went to the firstborn, right? It's the benefit of being the firstborn. Well, Jacob desires that blessing. Rebekah, his mother, desires that blessing for him as well, and she actually schemes and helps him misappropriate. She helps him to take that which is not rightfully his. Genesis 27, let's read verses 6 through 29. Again, there's going to be a lot of reading this morning, but these are direct examples from Scripture for you to understand. Genesis chapter 27, beginning at verse 6. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself, and not a blessing." Verse 13. His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice, and go get them for me." And he went and got them, and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice of clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in her house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." Verse 20. But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son, Esau, or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." Verse 25. He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought with him wine and drink. Then his father said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Look at the extent to which Rebekah and Jacob go to acquire something that isn't rightfully his. See, Jacob's concerned, well, he'll realize that I'm not my brother, and surely he'll rather curse me than bless me if I do this. And what does Rebekah say? "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Heed my words. I'll prepare the savory meal that would be just like your brother, since you can't do it. I'll help you. I'll prepare the savory meal. Not only will I do that, but I've got some of Esau's clothing here. And so I'm going to clothe you in the very clothing that your brother wears, so that you may appear whom you are not. And not only that, but because you're concerned about the fact that your brother is more hairy, I'll help you with that. And I'll help you deceive him by putting the hair of the goats and the animals that were killed for the savory stew onto your arms and hands, so that you may feel like your brother Esau." And what happens? Initially, Isaac's not sure, is he? Come closer. See, Isaac's getting old in age, and the blessing is going to come before he dies. Come closer. And then there are various things, and he's not sure. He says, the voice is that of Jacob. But the food is that of what Esau would serve. And the skin is that Esau's would feel like. But he's still not completely convinced. Because he eats, and then he says, Are you really my son Esau? And yet again, Jacob lies. And in this lie, his father believes him, and he is now granted what was not for him to have. He is given the blessings that should have gone to his brother, who was the eldest son. Turn forward to Genesis chapter 27, look at verses 34 through 38. Here now, we see the result of this action and how it affects Esau. Genesis chapter 27, verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times." Now he remembers, he took away my birthright. And now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, "Have you not reserved the blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do for you now, my son? I've already given it away." And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And then in verse 41 we see, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Look at the result on Esau. Look at what was lost because of Jacob's misappropriation. Because of Jacob taking away what didn't belong to him. Now, instead of Jacob having to bow down to his brother, as would normally be the case, what's the result? According to the blessing, Esau is going to have to bow down to Jacob. Esau is going to have to bow down to his brother. And all the things that come with that blessing, all that was given to Jacob was literally stolen out of the possession of Esau. He stole it from him before he really had it. But again, how will we recognize misappropriation? Look at her actions. How is she trying to get you to acquire that which you desire? How is she trying to get you to get a hold of what it is you want? Is she trying to convince you that you need to scheme and lie and deceive to do so? Because if you do, then that should be a sign you need to run the other way. If you start having to try to deceive in order to get what you want, then you don't need it, and you shouldn't have it. And look at the results that it can have on others. We also find in the book of Joshua that Achan steals or misappropriates, and he tries to hide it. Look at Joshua, the 6th chapter, verses 18 through, and that would be 18 through 19, not 9. Joshua, the 6th chapter, in verses 18 and 19. This is the Lord's command as it involves taking of or overtaking the enemy. "And you shall by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you be accursed when you take the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." Verse 19. "But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So what do we have? We have a direct statement as to how things are supposed to be and where things are supposed to go. Don't take any accursed thing. This has not been working well. Don't take any accursed thing and try to use it in such or keep it for yourselves, but leave it there, and that which is good and that which is righteous, or the wealth that is left, not necessarily the righteous, but the wealth that is left of the land, goes to the treasury of the Lord. So, as we look a little further, let's go to Genesis, the 7th chapter, verses 11 through 26. I'm not sure if that's me or not. Excuse me, Joshua, the 7th chapter, verses 11 through 26. Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more, unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Verse 13, get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Verse 15. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zeharites, and he brought the family of the Zeharites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Verse 18. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the son of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me how that you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took him from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Verse 24. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. Verse 25. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. What did he do? He decided to take that which belonged to the Lord. He decided that he wanted something that he was not to have. And so he takes it and he tries to hide it. God knows. God knows. It's found out through his servant Joshua. And ultimately, what's the penalty for this particular misappropriation? Penalty is death. Right? Should tell us misappropriation is a serious offense. Not doing what God tells you to do is a serious offense. Stealing from others whether it be from God or from others here on earth, is a serious offense. So, what about the idea of Old Testament verses regarding the importance of honesty as it deals with weights and measures? The reason that I selected to briefly run through this topic is because it deals with the idea of being honest in how you do your interactions with others, and whether or not you are trying to acquire wealth or things that don't belong to you through dishonest gain. We looked at Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter, verses 13 through 16 a little bit earlier. Proverbs chapter 1 and 11 verse 1 says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight to His delight. When you act corruptly, you're an abomination to the world, to God, excuse me. When you act correctly, you're His delight. When you deal fairly and appropriately, and you accept that which is rightfully yours, and don't try to go beyond or take any more than that." Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10. Diverse weights and diverse measures, they're both alike, an abomination to the Lord. When you deceive, when you try to trick others for your own gain, you are an abomination to the Lord. Verse 23, Proverbs chapter 20. Says the same thing. Ezekiel chapter 45 and verse 10. Ezekiel 45 verse 10 says, "You shall have honest scales, an honest ephah, and an honest bath." Hosea chapter 20 and verse 7. Again, honest, honest, honest. Hosea chapter 12 verse 7. "A cunning Canaanite, deceitful scales are in his hand, and he loves to oppress." In other words, when you take more from others than is rightful, you're oppressing them. You're harming them. You are making their life more difficult because they're not getting as much as they need potentially to sustain themselves. Someone comes to you and they have $50 worth of wheat, as it were, and you claim that based on what you've given me and the weight of it, it's only worth $35. You've cheated them out of a necessary $15 that they've expected, right? You've oppressed them. You've made things more difficult in not giving them the value that they truly deserve so that you could pocket an extra $15. Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Amos chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. "Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, 'When will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works.'" Falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. That we may do such a great job of taking advantage of others that we line our pockets. That's misappropriation. That's to misappropriate something. That's what's an abomination to God. Misappropriation is going to try to get you to deal unfairly with others. It's going to try to get you to deceive others for one reason. That reason? Personal gain. Personal gain. Do you really want to better yourself at the suffering of someone else? Would it make you feel better to have an extra $5 from Joe Wingo in your pocket than for his youngest child to have shoes or socks on her feet, because he didn't have the $5 that he needs to buy the socks? Would you rather oppress someone else just for something a little more? Micah chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. The Lord's voice cries to the city, wisdom shall see your name. Hear the rod. Who has appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the houses of the wicked, and the short measure that is an abomination? Shall I count pure those with the wicked scales, and with the bag of deceitful weights? For her rich men are full of violence, her inhabitants have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Should I call wicked good? No. No. What they've done is shameful and an abomination. And these people that are rich, who have acquired it, their wealth in an inappropriate manner, are an abomination. We talked about in class this morning, there's nothing wrong with the acquisition of wealth when done appropriately and when used for the benefits of others, the benefits of the work of the Lord, etc. When you understand how to use that wealth. But there is something wrong with the gaining of wealth through the harming of others. It's very simple. So what's the conclusion? It's pretty simple. We've looked at just a few examples of what misappropriation looks like to help us understand her. We looked at some verses from the Old Testament that teach how God saw the importance of dealing fairly and honestly with other people in our weights and scales. And this evening, we're going to look at misappropriation in a fashion of how it relates to how we use the Lord's money. Because we can misappropriate in how we acquire something, we can also misappropriate in how we use something. We've looked at the examples of wrongful ways to acquire something. This evening, we'll look at the possibility of wrongful ways of using that which we have acquired. As always, at the close of every lesson, there's an opportunity to make known at a convenient time that one is in need of help in any particular area, whether it be already a member of the Lord's body who is struggling in any area and needs the prayers and the support of his or her brethren, or has potentially sinned and needs the forgiveness from God the Father to allow him or her to begin walking anew, they can make that known. Or whether it's one in the audience who has not yet become a member of the Lord's body, who has not yet taken the first step, but recognizes now that the time is now, that there may not be a tomorrow, and they want to make their life right, and they want to acquire the greatest gift that God will give them, and that gift is a home in heaven eternal. We invite you to make that known while we stand and sing.